This podcast is a part of the Neuhoff Media Podcast Network.
It's our great pleasure to welcome the Superintendent of Schools for the Macon-Piatt Regional Office of Education, Jill Reedy, who is also, as I understand, a trustee of the Heart of Illinois Community Foundation. Is that correct?
That is correct. Okay. Thank you for having me.
No, it's good to see you again. And with you today is a juvenile detective, Jason Danner, from the Decatur Police Department. And we talked off the air. We're not allowed to talk about, I know there's been stuff in the news lately about this kind of thing, and as that's ongoing, we can't discuss that in particular, but we can talk about what you're doing to prevent that and the training that you're providing. And you know, I just think most people, they see these stories and they can't even begin to comprehend. You know, you see the ages involved. You see how in the world did a person get into the school to begin with? All of those things that you just don't have answers to, right? And part of this event is to help create more awareness about what it is you're already doing, right?
Yes, absolutely. And we're thrilled to bring this to the community. The Illinois School and Campus Safety Program is bringing this cost to participants, and we really encourage really anybody that works with children, but in particular, you know, educators, social workers, counselors, SROs, law enforcement to attend. Michelle Denault is a survivor of educator sexual abuse.
And this was here in Illinois, right?
Yes, this happened pretty close to home to us back in the 80s, and she recently came forward with a case, years later, explaining what happened to her and recognizing that she truly was a victim in this situation.
Okay. I'm assuming, Detective, that, you know, things have changed over the years. You know, they used to make movies about, you know, this, like high school teachers and students, and sensibilities have changed. But particularly even the younger, you know, which is most recently, you just look at it and you go, is this common? I mean, is this something as a parent I should be worried about? You know, how prolific is it?
It's pretty prolific. I think the age of social media changed everything.
Is that just an access question?
Yes.
Yeah.
Kids are getting phones at a younger age. I mean, when I was growing up, we'd mostly have phones till they were driving. And now you're getting phones at 6, 7, 8 years old, and you're having access to the internet at such a young age that it creates these problems.
Jill brought in, with a conjunction with other community partners, a guy who does this across the nation, and he told me flat out, if you have a child at home and you're letting them charge that phone in their room overnight without your looking over it, you're an idiot. That you should absolutely remove that phone from that kid's bedroom.
Correct. There needs to be more parental oversight.
But I just think most people, whether they're just trustworthy, I mean, they just go, not me, not my kid, right?
Right.
And so how much of that could be helping your job if parents took more action about policing those phones?
I mean, it would be huge. I mean, most of the cases that I don't work with incidents that happen in the schools, but most of the cases that I've worked has been, parents trusted the kid to do the right thing, and just a lack of oversight problem.
Okay. So let's first ask about, if I could, before we talk about the event.
Sure.
People always want to know, well, didn't you do a background check, or how did somebody end up in a classroom? You know, those kind of questions. And I don't think most people know what that process looks like.
So we at the regional office, with all the substitute teachers in particular,
way more of that than would be the case, right?
Yes. And so we do run background checks, and schools run background checks on their employees. But the good news is that Faith's Law, if you're familiar with that, came into legislation in first of December 3rd of 2021. And so that legislation actually established the definition of sexual misconduct within the school code. And then it added, expanded the definition of grooming in the Illinois Criminal Code, adding that to the list of under the Abused and Neglected Child Reporting Act. But in addition, just starting this year of July 1st, school districts now, for any employee, we have to run what we call an EHR check, or an employment history review. So in addition to the background check, this employment history review goes a little bit deeper, asking if there were any allegations.
So charges. Not even a conviction or a charge, but if there were allegations.
Allegations of sexual misconduct. So it's bringing a little more awareness. And so we're not seeing, some of the issues in the past. We might have had a substitute that was in Champaign coming to here and then going to Springfield. And this is really catching those things. And so it's just a deeper dive.
But if someone hasn't had any of that, it's not going to show up.
It's not going to show up. If there's been, if there has, and it hasn't been reported or nothing happened, it doesn't always show up. Absolutely.
Okay. So what will happen this day? I mean, obviously you have an instructor and somebody who's coming in who's lived through this, which would be incredibly powerful, I would imagine, you know, coming from the personal experience. But what will happen that day? I know the lunch is sponsored by the Heart of Illinois Community Foundation. You've got partners that are involved in this. What will it look like?
So she's going to spend the day, of course, telling her story, but then really going through the actual training. She has a training called Grooming 101 to help identify ways that children are groomed, how it starts very slowly. They isolate children and they, you know, befriend them and take advantage of kids' natural, you know, love and trust. And so she's going to go through those steps, but also tell educators and people that work with children how you can protect yourself as well. I mean, I remember getting an example of you know, we try not to ever give students a ride home alone. But if you ever had to in that situation, turn your cell phone on, have it call someone and have it on the entire time, and just ways to protect yourself and to protect kids.
Wow. It's hard for most people to think in the I mean, and how do you tell, you know, somebody who's just actually mentoring? I mean, how, what do you look for? I mean, how, as a parent, how do you, you separate those two? You know, we've all had, if you go through, you know, you, we've got, you know, he's now out of school, but, you know, he had teachers he liked a lot more than other teachers. I mean, how do you know about those relationships? What do you look for?
I think it's about keeping an eye on your kids and noticing changes. So
okay.
Usually it's the big isolation is a big thing, is when they're talkative and they'll confide in their parents and then they start to withdraw and, you know, they're spending a lot of time in their room on the internet. And it's when those changes happen that the parents need to be proactive.
Yeah, but that also could be like just typical.
Right.
You get to a certain age and that's kind of what everybody does. I just ask, this has to be incredibly challenging people just have to be aware of it. It's like what we've done with fentanyl and all the, I mean, it's too easy to go, not my school, not my kid, and kind of close down. It's hard to even think about. You got like 30 spots open for this thing right now.
Yes. And so, and then it will be at capacity. So we really encourage, it's going to be a very important day. We're all about protecting. So if we can pack the room, I think it'll be very powerful.
We talk about monitoring the phones. You know, parents have this love-hate affair, I think, with the phone, right? I mean, I know there are school districts in America that are trying to kind of keep phones out, and the parents are the first one outraged because they think about a school shooting or something if a kid needed help and having that access to the phone. How much, I know you said that was an important part of this, but I don't know how parents know how to tell what's too much or not enough as far as, you know, giving your child room to develop and yet feel like you're policing them all the time. Is there a magic answer to that?
There's not. It's a case-by-case basis. It's finding that balance between trusting your kid to make the right decisions and
But when a kid's 10 or 11 years old, I mean, you know, they have the capacity maybe to make those decisions.
And they get fooled. I mean, you were mentioning to me before how many million predators are
So at any given time in the U.S., there's just 500,000 predators on the internet trying to lure children.
And how do you come up with that number?
It's just through the FBI statistics.
Okay, I mean,
been reported.
Yeah,
and, you know, there's so much underreporting, and then sextortion. That was a big thing that Detective Richard Wistocki talked about with our students, and I'll never forget how many students, after he explained what it is,
and said that they
it's happened to them.
Exactly,
they were talking to somebody that they thought was their age. They sent them a picture, and then pretty soon the predators gotcha.
Yeah. Or even peer to peer, and with AI, that's going to quadruple. And I mean, I don't think we even have any idea what the end of all this is going to be. Are the laws keeping up?
No.
Yeah, I mean that's what I fear is like. It feels like the state of Illinois would like send out a press release like they're now taking debit cards. You know, I mean, when it comes to keeping up with the technology and how it's being used in a lot of great ways, but also in a lot of harmful ways.
Right.
All right. So what how do we make kids feel safe in school? I mean, they could be taken advantage of by doing nothing. I mean, they didn't even have to share a picture. They didn't have to do. I mean, it could be AI generated and being shared. And this is popping up in schools all over the United States.
Yeah, and that's a big thing we were just talking about with the superintendent. So how do we stay on top of this? And
I mean, is it even a crime?
Yeah, yeah.
And those are the things, you know, where the legislature really needs to do their part, right?
Yeah, our country is behind on the AI protection, I think. So it's going to be interesting to watch what happens. I think we're on the verge of a lot that we don't even know about yet.
Okay, how do people sign up for this? You literally have 30 spots left, and it's free, and there's a lunch provided. It's June 12th from 8 to 4, and it's an all-day thing at the Macon Pyatt Regional Office. By the way, they have a beautiful office. I got to take a tour not long ago. I was really impressed.
Yes.
Your new home.
And we've been able to host a lot of trainings because of that. The Illinois School and Campus Safety Program just brought threat assessment training a couple of months ago. So the things that we're able to do to bring to provide more education on school safety and so many topics has been wonderful with the new facility. But yeah, they can register. I'll post this again on our website, and I'm sure the Heart of Illinois Community Foundation will get this posted as well. The link is in there, or just call us at the regional office and we'll make sure you get registered.
And is there another component to this that works the opposite way? Meaning, we've been talking a lot about how does a teacher end up in a class monitored. How do teachers then deal with kids who are coming from homes where some of this stuff might be going on? I mean, that's probably the odds are far more likely to be that than the other way around, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, teachers are mandated reporters as well. So if they suspect anything, they're
required. They could be be taught how to, look for things and understand this in reverse.
Right.
Absolutely. And so I talked about Faith's Law. Aaron's Law came out, and our state was one of the first to adopt it. I believe as it was in 2011 that Illinois adopted Aaron's Law. And so that requires, I'll make sure I have that right, but that requires school districts to provide annual training to school personnel on child sexual abuse and grooming annually each year. And so I think the more we educate educators to look for that, the more we educate our children to talk about, safe touch and things like that, that's the biggest issue, is just the lack of education or underreporting.
Yeah, and then we can talk about DCFS and all that, but I mean, that's a whole other layer of what happens next after that. But clearly, just doing the math of how rare this is for a teacher to be arrested, I mean, they're probably going to see more kids coming from homes where there's abuse going on than the other way around.
Yes. I mean, as a building principal and teacher myself for years, just horrific stories. Yeah, very sad.
Well, I'm glad that you guys are being proactive about this, and I'm glad that you're offering resources to people who are in the classroom that probably already feel like they're just inundated with everything already. So once again, open to anybody in Macon Pyatt?
Absolutely, yeah. That the Heart of Illinois Community Foundation is supporting this and expanded into multiple counties, so we really are very appreciative of them sponsoring and supporting this, and we're just thrilled, again, that the Illinois School and Campus Safety Program, Eric Arnold, the program director, they're bringing it to our community.
Okay, and then how do people find you online if they want to register? And I'm assuming they can register online.
So we're on Facebook.
Okay.
If you can find the Macon Pyatt Regional Office of Education on Facebook, and also our website. www.maconroe39.org, I believe.
All right, we'll see if we can't include that with the podcast.
You can Google it.
Yeah, but only 30 slots left, free of charge to attend, and it should be a super interesting day and a lot to be learned. If people feel like there's something going on, or they have, where does a parent even start? I mean, do they start by contacting the school? Do they contact law enforcement? I mean, I'm sure it's probably happened a million different ways, but if somebody out there listening right now has a suspicion of something that's just not right, what is the first step for a parent?
Right. I mean, from my experience, it's to contact the police. I mean, we work a lot. We look into a lot of cases where there's absolutely nothing going on. We looked into it and can kind of determine that nothing's going on and that kid's safe. So ultimately, contacting the police.
So it's better safe than sorry.
Right.
Okay. So they would just contact the Decatur Police Department and tell them what's going on, and they would get them to you or whoever else they need to talk to?
Yes.
Okay. Well, keep up your service. Thank you for what you do in our community. And Jill, as always, you guys are always out front in everything. And I know you have a lot of different school districts to work with under that banner, and I hope they're all participating in this. And taking advantage of this incredible experience, particularly since it's free of charge to them.
Absolutely, yes.
All right, there we go. And thanks to the Heart of Illinois Community Foundation and all the other partners who are involved in this. We appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.